Okay. Good morning. Go ahead.
Steve, I'm just getting the recording started and I'll do a quick roll call.
Please go ahead. The recordings have started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone on today's IRD call on Monday, the 20th of December. We have Rafik Damak, Avery Doria, Steve Metallitz, Jim Galvin, Owen Smigelski, Rob Hutchinson. From staff, we have Steve Sheng, Dave Piscatello, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. No apologies noted for today's call. If I could just remind you all to state your names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Steve.
Thank you, Gisela. Thank you. And good morning and good afternoon or good evening, everyone. I heard on the call that there's been some extreme weathers, so I wish you safe and warm. On today's IRD call, on December 20th, Julie couldn't make it today. She had some illness developed from Cartagena that needs to go to the hospital as soon as possible. She did send three agenda items. The first agenda is summary of discussion in Cartagena. The second is the discussion of next steps. And the third one is finding a time for next meeting. So before we start, do people have more agenda items want to add? Hearing none. So we'll use this agenda. Maybe this could be a quick call. So summary of discussion in Cartagena. Julie sent out a discussion summary of the presentation that Edmund gave on last Thursday in Cartagena. There were quite a few working group members present in the room. So we went on to had a discussion. Edmund also presented the slide earlier to the GNSO Council, and there were some feedback on the presentation. So there are essentially three things discussed. The first thing is the language tag. So currently the IBN guidelines ask registrants to provide a language tag to identify language at the time of registration. This is for the purpose of checking which language table to use. So there was a suggestion from the GNSO session when Edmund presented the slide is to see whether it's useful to have a language tag indicating the language for the rest of the domain registration data is in. There was some quiet discussion on this topic. They were talking about language tag in different places, different parts of the process. What I seem to gather, I could be wrong, and please correct me if I do, that people participating in this discussion felt a tag would be useful for the purpose of identifying the language or script the domain registration data is in. So this is a tag as part of the Whois output. However, a tag, for either the protocol or the Whois client is not suitable at the moment because the protocol lacks the ability to signal in code new language. So that's what I gather from that discussion. Now, I'm looking. Did I summarize that correctly, or am I missing something?
So this is Jim Galvin. I was not part of the GNSO discussion, but this was recapped and mentioned during the IRD working group meeting. And yes, what you said sounds fine to me, and that's what's documented here in the report, and that's what I remember from the IRD working group meeting.
Thank you, Jim. Others, any other thoughts? I think a lot of us were in that discussion. Yeah. Okay. Hearing no objections. So let me suggest I check with Tina to see how the tag is used during the ID and registration process, and if the similar set of options can be used for Whois. So just to investigate, you know, what goes into that tag, actually, in terms of thinking from an implementation point of view.
Excuse me.
Go ahead, Jim.
So, Steve, this is Jim. Just understand here, I thought the conclusion here was that, let me put a slightly different spin on it than what you just said, but wrapping up all parts of the discussion that we had during the working group meeting, I thought that the conclusion was first priority would be a recommendation that the Whois protocol as currently defined is insufficient. A second recommendation would be, well, one of the reasons why it's insufficient would be that it doesn't support encoding indications or the ability to signal language tags. And this is, of course, is a significant deficiency as far as IDNs are concerned. There are some other points that Harold had made in his presentation. He had the very nice summary presentation of all the technical issues with the Whois protocol and the Whois service. So it's not clear to me why we would want to investigate where to put the tag information or encoding information. Or did I misunderstand what you just said?
Jim, I think what I mean is a language tag for the output of Whois query, right? Not the language tag. Regarding the Whois protocol, yes, you know, the protocol lacks the ability to signal encoding language. And that's going to be the second part of the discussion. You know, I think I capture it as, as you proposed, the working group has a finding that the Whois protocol does not lack encoding, lack mechanism to signal encoding, and a recommendation that, you know, they needs to be enhanced or replaced. So I'm in agreement with you with regard to that. But in terms of the language tag, I thought the working group wants a tag to indicate which language as part of the Whois output, not the protocol or the client. And I need to investigate how to implement that.
Steve, this is Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
I'm curious to understand the difference between a language tag that's a way to identify data, and why there is any relevance to whether it's associated with a query or a response. I mean, my understanding of tagging data in any schema is that you identify a data element with a tag, and that tag essentially identifies, you know, the element and the properties of the element. So that doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, query or response specific. It's just that the criteria is that we want a tag that says the following data are in this script or this language.
Yes.
Or this character set, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So
discussion, yeah.
So we're really not talking about protocol here at all. We're talking about, you know, fundamental requirements for the data schema that would make it possible to support internationalized registration data.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So we're not talking about protocol. I mean, the protocol deficiency. I think it's well documented in that session.
So this is Jim. Steve, I guess the question that I have is, it sounds like you're going forward to investigate a solution, which in fact, you know, one of our recommendations is that a solution needs to be found. So let me try and describe that a little bit differently. I believe there is consensus that a language tag is important in a directory service. And I believe there's consensus about that. GNSO asked for it. I think we've had consensus on this point in our working group all along. It's one of the reasons why the existing directory service that's available to us in the form of the Whois protocol and the data model and data representation that goes with Whois, that it's simply not possible to insert this language tag. And so looking for a way to add the language tag to the existing directory service that we have available to us, it seems like you're going the next step, which, you know, one of our recommendations, we have a finding that the current directory service model is insufficient, and a recommendation that's going to be that it needs to be replaced. And it sounds to me like you're suggesting that you need to investigate some of those solutions, and I think that that's out of scope. I'm happy for others to disagree, but that's where I'm coming from.
Jim, I think I'm in agreement with you completely. Let me see. What I hear from that discussion is a language tag that is part of a data element that indicate which language the rest of the registration data is in. I thought the working group saw that is necessary to put it in there. But, you know, a language tag for protocol or client or server, you know, that's out of the scope because that's, you know, part of the deficiencies you just described. So what I mean by looking by trying to find a solution from Tina is, you know, how do they do that in the IDM process? Do they indicate language? Do they indicate script? Do they indicate a combination? Is it at the registration? Do they have a drop-down box? You know, those kind of things to indicate. It has nothing to do with, you know, solutions for protocol or, you know, how to signal encoding. No.
Okay, so let me ask a question here. So if I understand, you're suggesting that you want to talk to Tina about the requirements for the IDN process so that we can include that as part of our report and perhaps as an additional detail in a finding or recommendation or something, not actually talking about looking for a specific solution. Do I understand correctly?
Yeah. No. Yeah. We're in agreement, I think. Aubrey, you have a point?
Yeah, this
Go
is
ahead.
Aubrey getting more confused by the moment. And I apologize that I didn't attend the sessions in Cartagena, but I had conflicting things I had to deal with. So at first I thought that there was a recommendation that in terms of registration information, in terms of possible recommendations for considerations and new and upgraded protocols, that there was information, a recommendation for a language tag and where or what part of the element it would be. I wasn't quite sure, but it was a meta element and not necessarily part of the information. Now I'm getting confused with the mention of the IDN protocol. And as far as I know, you know, there isn't a language tag, and I don't know what we're asking in terms of the IDN itself. So I'm actually in the process of getting more and more confused.
This is Jim. I think I agree with you, Aubrey. I am sort of concerned. I'm trying to understand exactly what action Steve is trying to is suggesting that he needs to do and what it relates to. And I, you know, maybe I just don't understand, as Avery says too, Steve, because I did not interpret an action out of the meeting and the summary.
Jim, this is Bob Hutchinson. I'd like to speak.
Go ahead, Paul.
I had a conversation with Tina Dam at the Cartagena conference about this, and I guess my recommendation would be to invite Tina onto the next call or a subsequent call to discuss with her what relevance the IDN work may have in terms of language tagging. I think she understands what the issue is we're dealing with, and she may be able to tell us or point us to the right places in the IDN's working information if there are relevant language tables and how they're represented, so that we could leverage their work or decide it's not relevant and not leverage their work. But right now, we don't really know what their work is, and so it's a little difficult for this group to try to mesh gears with IDN work without understanding it. The other point that I would make is that the subsequent meeting that we had in Cartagena was about the relevance of the protocols, and there were three proposals that were made as an alternative or enhancement to current WHOIS protocol. One, they did a very good job of dissecting the language around what's protocol, what's service, and what's data representation. I think we should get that information and use that in our own work, for one thing. And the other is maybe we should have that group for the whole group, at least present those protocol potential solutions so we can understand what their thinking is. Anyway, that's why.
So this,
yeah.
Go ahead. Okay, so this is Jim. I like that. I like the suggestion to perhaps to have Tina come and talk to us. I think maybe that's what you were suggesting to do. Yourself, Steve, about trying to coordinate with her, and it might be best if we just did it all as a group. Bob, on your point about terminology, rather than us getting it from them, I kind of felt like they got it from us, because I felt like I had been pushing on the terminology issue in our group, especially with respect to our presentation prior to going to Cartagena. Although I agree with you, the one thing that did happen in that meeting is we did extend the terminology a little bit. Jay Daly had made a couple of observations about some additional distinctions we should make, and we should absolutely bring that back and make sure that we adopt it consistently. I consider it a big success that we're getting more people to use consistent terminology here, so we're all careful about what we're talking about.
This is Steve.
Okay.
We can do that. The two suggestions.
Does that address some of your concerns, Aubrey?
Sort of. I mean, yeah. Considering that to keep thinking about it and talking about it does.
Okay. So I will I will email, I'll try to talk to Tina to see if I can get hold of her. And that, and there's also a suggestion to have the, have someone present on the technical potential solutions to this group. Is that a suggestion or no? Hello?
What was the question again?
Oh, okay. Sorry. I don't know if the phone dropped. Okay, so I have those down.
I don't think, actually, Steve, Aubrey just asked what was the question again. The question that I heard was, are we going to have someone come and present the technical solutions? And I don't think that's what we want. What I would think is the technical solutions that were put on the slides in the Cartagena meeting, I view them as a suggested starting point for discussions for whatever group is actually going to deal with the issue that WHOIS protocol as defined today needs to be replaced. And we make the observation that, you know, these are sort of the three obvious potential solutions that are on the table, and we offer that as input to that particular group. But I think it's out of scope for us to be looking at the technical issue of what choice to make.
That sounds good to me. What do others think?
And I guess this is Aubrey again. And I guess we have to have really sort of settled down on what all the requirements are, and I realize that we're close on that. And even when there's optional requirements and we tag them as good to have or whatever, you know, we need to have done that work first before we really start listening too much to possible solutions, because while, of course, many of us already know of several possible solutions, they start to color the requirements. So we really should, I think, have sort of closed that chapter, and perhaps we do need to go through with a sort of prioritization metric of some sort on the sets of technical requirements, policy requirements we're proposing, saying this one is a must. So, for example, on the previous discussion, if we say the language tagging on various elements is a requirement, Is it a must to have? Is it a nice to have? Is it, you know, so that when looking at solutions, because I don't think everything that we've said in this group is necessarily 100% of the same priority and importance. But maybe it is. But I don't think we've had that discussion. And if we have, I apologize.
Okay. Thank you, Aubrey. What you're suggesting is, we close, so we close off the requirement first before we look into others.
Yeah, that plus, Aubrey, again, that plus, you know, if we need to do a prioritization, if anything we have in there, we want to say, hey, you know, that's nice to have, but it's not a, you know, absolute requirement. If anything meets that, then, you know, we should have said that and go on from there.
Okay. Sounds good.
And this is Jim. I agree with Aubrey, especially with respect to the fact that we ultimately have to come to a decision about the four models.
Yes.
And, you know, one of my questions here today was to ask for a status and a confirmation. I confess I probably should know, you know, the dates and stuff offhand, but I don't. You know, we had asked for some public comment. And I guess I have to be careful about that phrase because of the formality associated with it. But we have asked people to comment on those four models so that we could have additional input to make our decision. And I would like to understand that process. You know, what is our process, and what are the deadlines and the steps here for coming to closure on those four models? Because that's a critical step for us in coming to closure on requirements overall.
Sure. So since we're talking about the next steps, maybe let me quickly first wrap up this language tag. So the action item is I will try to invite Tina to join us in our next call in a discussion on this. regarding the scope of the working group, you know, I think we had some agreement in Cartagena that exploring suggested solutions for WHOIS is not within the scope of the working group. The working group, it is within the scope of the working group to define requirements for data elements as well as service requirements that meets the needs of IDN, but it's it's out of the scope of the working group to say, solution X is the best solution. Are we in agreement with that? Any objections? Any discussion? Okay. I mean, along the lines, as Jim suggested, the working group, so it will be within the scope for the working group to have a finding that says the existing protocol does not meet the requirement we set up and recommend some mechanism, investigate the solutions. Yes. So I think we are in agreement on that. Regarding the next steps, Jim asked a question about the public comment process. So the public comment will close on March the 14th. And what will happen is staff will provide a summary of analysis of all the public comments received regarding the IRD working group. And then...
Steve?
Go ahead.
Just a quick question here. You said March 14th?
Yes. So that's the second day of the San Francisco meeting. So, which means we probably won't have time to review all the comments before the San Francisco meeting. The period was extended because the language, the report is translated into 6 UN languages, and without that, we need to give people more time to respond.
All right. This is Aubrey. Sure, I have a question on the timing.
I'm sorry, what? Go ahead.
Aubrey, I have a question on the timing.
Go ahead.
Has the translation been done yet, or just based upon a projected schedule of when the translation will be? Because usually there's an extra month after the new translation comes out, but they get the same 30 days as everyone else. So, but this looks like either the translation is scheduled to come out in February, or we've done more than a 30-day extension. So I'm just curious. I don't quite understand.
The translation is already being posted.
So then why 3 months? Or 2.5 months, as opposed to 30 days?
I don't recall. I think the discussion, we had a discussion how long it is and the
okay, I missed that. Sorry. But that's a long time.
Yeah, and the conclusion is, since it's been translated into other languages, we need to give people more time. That's how I understand.
This is Jim. I mean, I'm with Aubrey. I was reacting when you said March 14th because I confess I did not remember, I don't remember that the 90 days being the suggested time window here. It really seemed kind of far out for me, and I was going to step back and think, okay, maybe it was talked about and there was agreement somewhere in the back that I'm forgetting or missed. But can you provide a confirmation on when it was we decided that 90 days was the right amount of time?
Sure, Jim. I can go back and find out.
Right, because this is Aubrey, and I think our norm is, yes, we always extend it once the translations come out, but it's for 30 days, basically, so that the 5 translations have had at least the same amount of time as the English only had. Obviously, the English only gets a longer period, but that be it as it may. But the 90 days, or I guess in this case, it's more like 45. More like 75, that's it, I can add, is extraordinary. And so, yeah, I'd be curious to know when and why we decided 75 days or something, or maybe it is 90, if they're already out and it's mid-December. Yes, yeah, sorry, I'm fuddling my math.
Steve, this is Steve Metalich. Can I get in the queue?
I'll stop.
Go ahead. I've got an email here. I raised this question with Julie on December 6th, and we got an email back, which is sent to the list, that said, she said, as mentioned in one of our previous meetings, when the working group requested translations, I noted that the comment period must be the same for the translations as it is for the English version. The working group agreed on 60 days as the comment period. The translations were added last Friday, and the comment period was extended by 60 days, the original period, accordingly. Now, that actually doesn't quite add up, because if the translations were added on December 3rd, which is what she's saying, I'm not sure why the comment period would be more than 60 days after December 3rd. They seem to have just tacked on 60 days to the original comment deadline. I would think that it should be 60 days from the date that the translations were posted, which would be, you know, roughly the 1st of February.
Yeah.
So maybe so someone could relook at that.
Yeah. This is Dave. You know, clearly, you know, Steve and I, you know, are not, you know, not familiar with why, you know, why the decision was made, and Julie may have a better understanding. So, you know, so we can allow some other conversation to continue. Why don't we just agree to try to find out, you know, how the decision was made and post it to the list?
That sounds good, Dave. Thank you.
Sorry, yeah, I agree also, unfortunately, because 1st of February would actually allow us to have, you know, it processed before San Francisco, but then again, if it's already been announced as mid-March, shortening it now becomes almost impossible. So I'd like to understand, but I do realize that at this point, there's probably precious little we can do about it.
Well, currently there's no comment. I just checked.
Yeah. But that's because everybody's waiting for the last week of March. or the first week of March, like we always do.
There was another suggestion at the meeting we also make targeted and focused presentations to registries, registrars, commercial stakeholders, and law enforcement. You know, to get their feedback. So we are double prepared. On one hand, we prepare to receive comments through the public comment process. On the other hand, we also make presentations to stakeholders that could be affected or have a keen interest in the subject, so that, you know, we can, in those presentations, we can encourage them to provide comment through the public comment, to put their comment in the public comment process. So
this is Steve Metalich. Can I respond to that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, my recollection of the discussion in Cartagena was that the staff was going to prepare webinar materials and that could be used for, and a webinar could be offered to those four groups that you mentioned and others that would be interested. And so is that your recollection as well, and I guess I would just ask where things stand on that.
Yeah, so it was either the staff can prepare the materials, but we need someone to present it. I mean, the staff can present it, or also in this case, it would be the working group chair to present. But in either case, we really would rely on the working group members to get the word out, so that we will have some good participation.
Well, I'm happy to, you know, set up a presentation with the commercial stakeholders group that I'm on the executive committee of, but I would need to know that we have, do you want me to try to set up a date for that, and then you would prepare the materials for that date, or do you want to prepare the materials first, and then I'll try to find a date? How do you want to proceed?
I guess that's open to discussion. I mean, the staff here is as a support role, so we support whichever way the working group decides on how to do the outreach. Yeah.
So this is Jim. I mean, I would think that why don't we put together materials, and once we have materials, then we can, you know, pretty rapidly schedule opportunities for presentation of those materials, whether it be through the chair or as Steve offered to do it himself or for the group that he's a part of, and there may be other options. So I think we should focus on the content first, and then we can examine how to conduct the presentations.
I certainly agree with that, and if the staff could rough out the webinar materials and we could review them, that might be a good use of our time as while we're waiting for the public comments to come in on this other matter.
Okay. So as an action item, we will put together some material. Actually, we have some time here. So let me ask a question. How is that material so going to be different from the admin's presentation in Cartagena? So how do you want that to be different? So, and then we can, you know, add slides or subtract slides.
This is Steve Metalitz. My recommendation is it needs to be much more basic.
Basic, okay.
And because if the audiences we're trying to reach really may not have thought much about this.
Okay. So basic means in terms of tech terminology.
Yeah, let's make sure we're not using a lot of acronyms that people might not understand.
That's a good input. Any other how we modify the current Cartagena presentation for this special outreach purpose?
So this is Jim. I would make a point of including the terminology that was laid out in the beginning of the Who Is meeting.
But would this make the presentation less basic?
Okay, so let me rephrase a little bit and suggest that whatever terminology that we're using in our presentation should be explained up front. And whether or not we add others in there for completeness or not, why don't we just see how the content develops and we can, you know, make that decision as we go.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Any other thoughts? Owen, Rafik, any thoughts? Oh, I guess not. Okay, so the staff as action item. What I see, there are two action items here. One action item is I'll invite Tina to join our call next time to discuss about the language tag issue. And the second action item is we'll put together some a basic set of materials for special outreach. So those are the two action items I captured. Any others? Okay.
Yes, Steve, this is Bob Hutchinson again.
Go ahead.
Steve said that he would do the commercial stakeholders, and I'm wondering whether we have an equivalent group to make sure that law enforcement has a briefing on this and has their say.
Right.
This is Steve. I'd be happy to reach out to them also, or else someone else can do it. But
okay.
Once we have the materials ready.
Yeah, so I guess we'll have the material first, and then we can decide how to do the outreach. You know, I see none of the two chairs is on the call today, so I want to defer to them have a discussion with the group on how to do this. Certainly, one way is Steve suggested. We just gave the slides to each working group members and you go and make presentations to your constituencies.
Steve, that is not what I suggested. I suggested I'd be glad to set it up.
Oh, really? Okay, I'm sorry.
I don't think I should be the one presenting it. I would hope that either the chairs or the...
Yeah. Another way would be the chair. We set up a target time for each group, and then the chair make separate presentations. Or the chair could make, you know, instead of 5 or 6, you can make 2 or 3 times and invite whoever is available on those times to join the conversation.
Yes. Aubrey, yes. I'd like to... Oh, sorry, I'll back.
Go ahead.
I think that doing the 2, maximum 3 times based at convenient, you know, geographical timing is probably the way, as opposed to necessarily a presentation per group. But, you know, that be as it may, because even within the groups, you're going to find geographic distribution. So, you know, so I would really suggest just doing it twice or maximum 3 times to make sure you hit the right time zone.
Well, this is Steve. That's one way to approach it. That's not what was discussed in Cartagena.
The idea was
to have it more focused on particular, you know, we wouldn't be the same one each time. I mean, the registrars, for example, these different options all impose some obligations, or some of them impose some obligations on the registrar. So you'd want to focus on getting feedback from the registrars about whether it's feasible to require them, for example, to provide, in one option, you provide a point of contact for translation and transliteration. Is that a good idea from their perspective, a bad idea? And similarly, from the standpoint of commercial stakeholders who are basically users of this service, I think that you'd have a slightly different approach. So that was the idea in Cartagena. I take your point that it's difficult to get everybody in one time zone, but I think the idea was to try to get some good feedback by focusing the presentation on the particular, how this might impact that particular group.
I understand, and I wasn't in Cartagena, so I'll step back from the opinion.
All right. I think we will make the materials first, and then we can discuss the mechanics of the outreach. So the last item. Are there any other thoughts on this item? The last item is deciding on the next meeting time. How Julie suggested January 10th. Is that okay? In 2 weeks? So that's in 3 weeks, right? January 10th.
Yes, that's 3 weeks.
3 weeks. In 3 weeks. This is, you know, taking account of the holiday. So are people okay with that?
I think that's realistic. It wouldn't make any sense to have one sooner than that.
We'll make one in the new year, January 3rd. Okay, so our next meeting will be January 10th. As staff support, just want to thank you so much for the hard work you put in for the IRD working group this past year. So I truly appreciate, and also a privilege to finally meet in person with you in Cartagena. So gladly appreciate that. So I guess, are there any other business that we need to discuss?
Well, just thank you to Steve and Dave and the rest of the staff for all your work on this, and I hope everyone has a good holiday and Happy New Year.
Yeah, happy holidays to you all.
Yes, thank you very much. Happy holidays.
Thanks.
And don't miss the moon tonight.
unless you're in Los
Angeles. Lunar eclipse, that's right.
Unless you're in Los Angeles where there's it's going to be pouring rain.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Anyway, okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
Okay. Happy holidays,
everyone. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks,
Tim.